Okay, it's tired in here today. Anybody tired?
It seems like this will be the time where everyone's going, I'm going to watch, and it's going to be. So, take your hands, put them above your head. Shake them a little bit.
It's your Holy Spirit hands in the United Church of Christ. Look at that. There we go. Keep shaking them.
Okay, now if at any time during the sermon you tend to get tired and start drowsing, just raise your hands above your head and shake them like that, okay?
Let's pray. Now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of each and every heart, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. No, not right away. You can do it, yeah.
How do you make decisions? You know, easy decisions, they're easy, right? A kind of
circular logic there. Usually have a strong sense of what to do, like, should I clean up that cat vomit or should I let somebody step in it?
Some of you have had that situation.
Or should I try to learn this material throughout the semester or should I cheat on the test?
Yeah, we don't always make the correct decision in those easy, you know, things. Like, you know, maybe you do cheat on the test, maybe you let someone walk in the cat vomit, but knowing which decision would be the better one is probably pretty easy to do in those cases. But what about the harder decisions, like deal or no deal? Anybody watch that TV show? I apologize for going into that cultural reference if you don't know it. Howie Mandel, an old-time comedian, not old-time, but 20 years ago, he hosts a show on NBC called Deal or No Deal. Are you familiar with it? It's kind of laughable. There's just a whole bunch of briefcases, and one of them has a bunch of money in it. And the whole show consists of picking numbers. And then there's a lot of greed in there because they'll say, okay, there are four cases left, and one of them has a bunch of money, one has a dollar, and I'll give you $50 not to take the case but to just take the money. Or, you know, people getting $200,000, and they don't have to know anything. They just have to pick numbers. Hard decisions. No, okay, how about some real hard decisions? What college should I go to? Should I risk telling my friend how much my feelings were hurt? Which youth group trip should I chaperone this summer?
Couldn't resist again.
How do you make decisions? Anybody have a tried and true way to make decisions? Best way? None of you make any decisions. Pray on it, okay? The disciples prayed on it. There was a decision war. What else? What else do you do? Gut. Your gut. Flip a coin. List the pros and cons. You know, that happened in an episode of Friends. And Ross and Rachel broke up because of it, I think. Or they didn't get back together or something like that. Because when you see the list. Okay. Check with your wife and make sure it's okay. List the pros and cons. Pardon me? Well, that was a good thing, though, wasn't it? Who said something else? I didn't say any of these things. You said them. Here's a biblical way to make decisions. It's not the only biblical way. It's just one biblical way. And have you ever noticed that when you use the term biblical way, you're usually talking about sex or what must be considered the absolute truth about anything?
Well, I know a biblical way.
Okay. Here's the biblical way. Cast lots. Somebody said flip a coin. Throw the dice. Take the magic stones and see what they say. Flip a coin. So let's consider the first reading today. The believers, about 120 of them, had two candidates to be the new 12th disciple. So they prayed and they threw the dice. Matthias won and Joseph, called Barsabbas, Joseph Justus, did not. And neither was heard from the rest of the Bible. You know, they just, Matthias was added to the 12 and then Paul takes over. So, you know, it didn't happen all that quickly, but, you know, neither Matthias nor Joseph Justus are in there at all. So really they did. It said they cast lots. Now, we don't know exactly what method you use for casting lots, but it's like throwing the dice. It's throwing the sticks. In the Old Testament, you have in Exodus 28 and Leviticus 16, Aaron, Moses' brother, wore the breastplate that had the magic stones in it. And I call them magic stones because the people held that they revealed God's will, God's decisions, when they were dropped and then interpreted or read. Decisions about sacrifices and other things came from, or at least were interpreted from, the Urim and the Thummim. I don't know exactly what they were, but some people say there was like a black stone and a white stone. They would throw them and people would look at them and go, oh, well, obviously, this is the answer. And I don't know how they decided that. Exodus 28, in the breastplate of judgment you shall put the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the Israelites on his heart before the Lord continually. Leviticus 16, he shall take two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and Aaron shall cast lots on the two goats, one for the Lord and the other for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat in which the lot fell for the Lord, and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat in which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, and it will be sent away into the wilderness of Azazel. So, cast lots there. In 1 Samuel chapters 10 and 14, we see that King Saul, the first king, was chosen by lot. And we also see the guilt of Saul and Jonathan, Saul's son, about eating some honey, kind of, were determined by the Urim and the Thummim. Here we have 1 Samuel 10, 19 to 21. But today you have rejected your God, who saves you from all your calamities and your distresses, and you have said, no, set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and your clans. Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near its families, and the families of the Matrites were taken by lot. And finally he brought the family of the Matrites near man by man, and Saul the son of Kish was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Eventually they did find him, though. 1 Samuel 14, Saul said to Israel, you shall be on one side, and I and my son Jonathan on the other. The people said to Saul, do what seems good to you. And Saul said, O Lord God of Israel, why have you not answered your servant today? Is this guilt in me or in my son Jonathan? O Lord of Israel, if it is, give Urim. But if this guilt is in your people, give Thummim. And Jonathan and Saul were indicated by the lot, but the people were cleared. And then Saul said, cast the lot between me and my son Jonathan, and Jonathan was taken. They threw the magic stones and decided who was guilty. The sailors on board with Jonah cast lots to see which person was causing God's anger in the form of this storm. Jonah was thrown overboard. It says, the sailors said to one another, come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. That's from Jonah 1, 7. In Numbers 26 and Joshua 18, 1 Chronicles 24, we see land and responsibilities divided by the casting of lots. For instance, Numbers 26, but the land shall be apportioned by lot according to the names of their ancestral tribes. They shall inherit. Joshua 18, provide three men from each tribe and I will send them out so that they may begin to go throughout the land, writing a description of it to view their inheritances. Then come back to me. You will divide it into seven portions. Judah continuing and it keeps going on and they divide things by lot. 1 Chronicles 24, verse 5. They organized them by lot, all alike, for there were officers of the sanctuary and officers of God among both the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar. And there are more instances in 1 Chronicles. All of these things being casting lots to decide sort of arbitrary decisions. Who gets the land? Who gets things like that? When Jesus was crucified in the New Testament, Matthew 27, 35, and when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. That's the verse that I always used to read when I was a kid and think the casting lots is horrible. Look it, they cast lots to divide up Jesus' clothes. Then you find all of these other examples, even deciding a new disciple. Casting lots, it's a way in the Bible that people made decisions. And I wonder what to make of that. Like the case of Saul and Jonathan, the case of Jonah, lot casting was somehow to see God's supernatural influence on stones or sticks or whatever they used. And then the people trusted whatever the stones or the sticks told them. And I don't think I could do that today. I don't think I could throw the magic stones to decide which one of my kids had done said thing. I want an investigation. I want a trial. I want someone to confess. I want to find out what the truth is. And I'm not going to blame a person's actions on the weather. I'm not comfortable with that whole magic stones, the Urim and the Thummim thing. But there it is. It's in the Bible. I can't ignore it. I'm really glad, though, it doesn't say, they cast Urim and Thummim, and therefore you must, too, to make any decision. That would be really hard for me. So they did it. I see that they did it. I see that they trusted it, and I don't think that I could throw stones down and say, this is the way someone is guilty, or this is the person even who should be king. Although we have things like that now. In a political election, save for the most important, biggest ones, and like local elections, if it's a tie vote at the end of time, what happens? Flip a coin. An aldermanic vote in Warrenville a few years ago was decided by the flip of a coin. What other things are decided by flips of coins like that? Do you know? Who's going to kick off? Do you think God really cares who receives? I don't know. The flip of a coin. I trust that the flip of a coin in a football game is, you know, it's got to be fair, but I don't know that God really has this supernatural influence over the coin, or is using a supernatural influence over the coin to say that the coin is going to land heads and the bears are going to receive. You know, it's I don't see that happening. But there are places in the Bible that casting lots happen, and there are cases now. I think that it is fair when you look at these kind of random occurrences, like if you decided, you know, we throw 7-6, or drawing the short stick, or when you're picking a college, you put all the pieces of paper in a hat and you draw them out. Didn't you know someone who did that? Yeah. And she's very glad the college that she chose. That's right. Debbie did that. She cast lots to decide a college. It seemed like a fair way to do it. So that's how she did it. What about when you have two candidates to be the 13th or the 12th disciple, and you have to decide one of them? That's what happened here in Acts. And I want to change the direction a little bit. I think that some people's common sense may be saying something that I said, or, you know, something similar to what I said, or maybe it's opposite, but maybe you're saying God isn't affecting the coin toss, it's simply a random occurrence. And others have a really, really strong common sense thought. In the other direction, God gives the ability to lift and toss the coin and is in control of how the coin toss ends up. And we can debate all morning about which one it is. Is it possible that God affects the outcome of every coin toss, since God lives in eternity? You know, God knows the outcome. I can't come to a conclusion on all of that, but I can look for another lesson in here, something maybe that I can understand. And could it be that in the case of Joseph, Justice, and Matthias, that either candidate would have been correct? Couldn't God have gotten things done with either candidate? I've read stuff that says Joseph, Justice was a radical, and he was a radical conservative, and Matthias was more of a moderate, and therefore the stone chose Matthias. But, you know, there were two brought there. I think that when they flipped the coin, when they threw the stones, whatever they did, said either one of these can be it. And couldn't it be possible that either one of them would have been right? Couldn't the land divisions have gone a different way and God still gotten done what God wanted to do? Is it possible? Here's the question. You don't have to answer out loud, but you might. Anyone need to do this? Okay. Is it possible that some decisions have multiple correct answers? If we can find a way to understand and see the validity of the opinions of others, then I think we go a long way in trying to understand how God could work in casting lots. I still don't get the whole guilty for eating the honey thing. I don't understand that. The magic stone thing, I don't get that. I don't understand it, and I'm uncomfortable with it. But I think I understand how God can work through the many different decisions that we make on particular issues. And how amazing it would be if instead of resorting to anger and harsh words with one another, that we sought out ways to understand the validity of someone else's opinions. And I think we're all guilty of tunnel visions on our issues. I know I am guilty of tunnel vision on my issues, the ones that I say, this is the correct way to be. And if anything veers from that, I'm very upset. And if anyone disagrees with me, I don't like it. But I think God has a better way to look at things than I do. I guess the question now becomes, you think about this, if I can look at the validity of someone else's decision on an issue or try to find out all those different opinions, what are the things that I'm willing to look for validity in other people's opinions and what issues are completely non-negotiable? And then, since none of us are God, and we are to continue to follow God's two most important commandments of love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, then we can start by listening to others' opinions on our non-negotiables. It's easy to listen to opinions on the things that we think, oh, we could listen to this and maybe that. But what about our non-negotiables? There's no way that anything can be any other way than this decision, than this way. Can we listen to other people's opinions on our non-negotiables? I think that when we do that, and we listen truly with God's love, then we end up making better decisions. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for giving us your Word. Thank you for being present with us all the time. We ask that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that you would help us to understand, you would help us to continue to love one another as we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.